through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard, as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. Thine comes to pour my praise on him, like oil from Mary. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair.
I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by the Foundation for Prayerful Living and open to all. We are delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. Before we begin our first hymn, I want to announce the topic. The topic is from Science and Health, Indeed Adequate to Unclasp the Hold. And a comment. One day, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, then Mary Glover, healed John Scott of Stoughton, Massachusetts, of, quote, chronic and agonizing intestinal complaint, unquote. The doctors had given him up. His wife later told Mary that for a long time, her husband had been unkind to her and their children. Now, not only was he healed of chronic intestinal complaint deemed fatal, but he was a changed man, affectionate and kind to his wife and children. That's from 12 Years with Mary Baker Eddy Tomlinson, and also from Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Healer. So, back to our subject, Indeed Adequate to Unclasp the Hold. Some definitions. Indeed, without any question, it is possible. Adequate, able, hold, to have a grasp on, unclasp, to open by unloosing the clasp, detach, relinquish. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Holy Bible and from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Science and Health. The power of Christian Science and divine love is omnipotent. It is indeed adequate to unclasp the hold and to destroy disease, sin, and death. The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation. Now, as then, these mighty works are not supernatural, but supremely natural. They are the sign of Emmanuel, or God with us, a divine influence, ever present in human consciousness, and repeating itself, coming now, as was promised aforetime, to preach deliverance to the captives of sense, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Love is the liberator. The Bible, Exodus. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me unto you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Then Moses answered, but what if they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, the Lord did not appear to you? Again the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. He put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. Then God said, put your hand back into your cloak. So he put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his body. Science and health. It was scientifically demonstrated that leprosy was a creation of mortal mind and not a condition of matter. When Moses first put his hand into his bosom and drew it forth white as snow with the dread disease, and presently restored his hand to its natural condition by the same simple process. God had lessened Moses' fear by this proof in divine science, and the inward voice became to him the voice of God, which said, it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And so it was in the coming centuries, when the science of being was demonstrated by Jesus, who showed his students the power of mind by changing water into wine and taught them how to handle serpents unharmed, to heal the sick and cast out evils in proof of the supremacy of mind. The Bible, Luke. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears, and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, he replied, speak. A certain creditor had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt for both of them. Which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my feet with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 devils had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. Science and health. It is related in the 7th chapter of Luke's gospel that Jesus was once the honored guest of a certain Pharisee by name Simon, though he was quite unlike Simon the disciple. While they were at meat, an unusual incident occurred, as if to interrupt the scene of Oriental festivity. A strange woman came in. She bore an alabaster jar containing costly and fragrant oil, sandal oil perhaps, which is in such common use in the East. Breaking the sealed jar, she perfumed Jesus' feet with the oil, wiping them with her long hair, which hung loosely about her shoulders, as was customary with women of her grade. Did Jesus spurn the woman? Did he repel her adoration? No. He regarded her compassionately. Nor was this all. Knowing what those around him were saying in their hearts, especially his host, that they were wondering why, being a prophet, the exalted guest did not at once detect the woman's immoral status and bid her depart. Knowing this, Jesus rebuked them with a short story or parable. He described 2 debtors, one for a large sum and one for a smaller, who were released from their obligations by their common creditor. Which of them will love him most? Jesus approved the answer and so brought home the lesson to all, following it with that remarkable declaration to the woman, thy sins are forgiven. Why did he thus summarize her debt to divine love? Had she repented and reformed? And did his insight detect this unspoken moral uprising? This is what is meant by seeking truth, Christ, not for the loaves and fishes, nor like the Pharisee with the arrogance of rank and display of scholarship, but like Mary Magdalene from the summit of devout consecration, with the oil of gladness and the perfume of gratitude, with tears of repentance, and with those hairs all numbered by the Father. The Bible, John. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus said, Take away the stone. So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Psalm 91. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he shall command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Science and health. Jesus restored Lazarus by the understanding that Lazarus had never died and then lived again. Had Jesus believed that Lazarus had lived or died in his body, the Master would have stood on the same plane of belief as those who buried the body, and he could not have resuscitated it. Jesus said, I knew that thou hearest me always. And he raised Lazarus from the dead, stilled the tempest, healed the sick, walked on the water. There is divine authority for believing in the superiority of spiritual power over material resistance. If Jesus awakened Lazarus from the dream, illusion of death, this proved that the Christ could improve on a false sense. Who dares to doubt this consummate test of the power and willingness of divine mind to hold man forever intact in his perfect state and to govern man's entire action? The power of Christian Science and divine love is omnipotent. It is indeed adequate to unclasp the hold and to destroy disease, sin, and death. Now let's all pray together in silence for a few moments, then join together in praying aloud the Lord's Prayer. This will be followed by a musical interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. And together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory. Art in heaven, hallowed be.